polls are down, get out of town. An oft-cited piece of political wisdom. But Joe Biden, getting out of town this week for yet another climate summit, might be more concerned with escaping negotiations over his signature infrastructure bill. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Catch us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Biden's battle over his signature infrastructure bill continues this week, and in spite of cuts that have reduced the bill's price tag to now half of its originally reported cost, Democrats are still fighting over how to pay for it. One contentious proposal this week, contentious if you're Tesla CEO Elon Musk at least, is a tax increase that would raise billions from only a handful of the very richest Americans. Ed, what's going on?
Well, I think you spotted the how to pay for it issue, which Sinema is the one you have to deal with on that. And then Manchin, somehow a guy who grew up in a poor neighborhood, a poor kid, probably had a few food stamps on the way and certainly school lunch, doesn't want anybody else to have that. He calls it entitlement. Now we're at the situation where half a loaf is better than none. And as we all know, once entitlements are in, they can be expanded. But if they're not there, it's hard to get them. So I think we're dancing on these hairs about how to get them in, how to set this agenda in the right direction. It is a real shame the Republicans are Republicans, because I wish they were Democrats.
Yes. In terms of that half a loaf, one of the latest measures that appears to have been cut just due to the influence of Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, just to expand on this, it is the provision of paid family and medical leave to millions of Americans. Now, that was something obviously heavily promised by Biden during the 2020 campaign. Two things here, Ed. One, look, it's easy for you and me to say climate change is a number one priority. But if I'm a low-income American voter who is now losing out on that paid family or medical leave, that is a big, big blow for me and obviously a big betrayal. And two, we can point fingers all we want, but Biden is ultimately the one that's going to wear this. The buck stops here, as Truman used to say.
Yeah, that's all very true. I think it will get there maybe in a week, in a two-week form of leave rather than 14 weeks. I thought they were going to compromise anyway, 7 or 8 or 10, but now we're down to 2 or 3. But 3 can be expanded, 0 can't. So I think we're at that juncture where we're talking about what can be saved or what notion can be saved to be used in the next campaign. Because if you don't do something, there won't be a next campaign. And, this is the 9th inning in the baseball game. You're down one run. If you don't get 2 runs, you lose the game. So I think they're trying to get around the bases here. You notice there's a news blackout. Nothing's being said by anybody on any media. So this is a real blackout that's being respected by the media as they work this through. No is not an answer.
And just before we move off this, those two senators, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, Kristen Sinema, obviously, they both faced criticism, not least from us, but Kristen Sinema in particular facing calls for her to resign this week, which I'd have to say, those kind of calls, pretty optimistic, because as far as I can tell, Sinema cares for one thing and one thing only, and that is staying exactly where she is or advancing from where she is. Just any thoughts?
Well, I don't think she's going to run again. You don't behave this way if you have an intention of running again. And when you lose most of your advisors are shorthand for people who give you a lot of money. Their chances of mounting a good campaign are very narrow. And she's done a couple of corporate internships. So I think that's where her head is. But if her head is there, what she has to understand, what she has to offer is her knowledge and her friendships in the Congress. And she's burned those bridges, both bridges. So there's not many places she can go. I think she would flame out in the corporate world as an advisor in no time at all.
In any case, Joe Biden is escaping the chaos of these negotiations for yet another climate summit, the UN Climate Change Conference, or COP26 in Glasgow. Now, is it me, Ed? Look, okay, things are allegedly happening on national scales, but is it me, or are we having this kind of non-stop parade of international conferences, lots of world leaders, lots of private planes, lots of talk, that continually come away with no cohesive action, at least since the Paris Accords?
Yeah, there's something to that. But the reason they're meeting so much now is they have to re-cement their relationships as working together because they're highly fractured. So I don't think these have much to do with climate change, except the climate of cultural relationships and political relationships. So here's Joe trying to mend fences, both at home and away.
Well, Chinese President Xi Jinping will not be attending COP26. And as I say, I'm not entirely sure I blame him. But it does raise the question, can Biden, who is at least trying to talk a good game on this and obviously establish relationships, do much of consequence without improving relations with China?
China's moving on its own and in pretty good directions. I think this is going to be a bilateral thing between the United States and China. Mm. And China will probably sell the Americans a lot of hardware to reduce climate change. And China is going whole hog in this direction themselves. So I think it's very possible in the very near future for you to see significant changes in China. And I think the relationship between China and the United States will improve in a multilateral way. There'll be Australia will be in it, Japan will be in it, Korea will be in it, India will be in it. And this will actually be something the Chinese are looking forward to because they want to close that front and clean it up and get their economy rolling again in a responsible direction. You know, with the Evergrande and other things, they've got some real things they have to fix. The pandemic was horrific to their economy. So he may not be going, but it's not entirely out of protest. It's he has to repair his home space. You know, you don't want to leave home and have somebody else take the key.
Mm-hmm. Some good U.S. news, though, in this area before we do move off it. Los Angeles is aiming to be the first major U.S. city to go carbon-free, looking to transition its electricity sector off fossil fuels by 2035. Ed, what do you see as key here in terms of challenges and the key steps involved?
Elon Musk. Elon Musk is doing a lot of this. He's using his batteries and other technology from Nevada and from California that will allow Los Angeles to do this. And Los Angeles takes some very bold moves with their public transportation system, their ports and the like. So LA wants to reform its tarnished reputation. And clearly the California legislature is helping them out an awful lot by the bills they passed recently that require low or no emissions from automobiles by 2025, many changes in what cars can have, many changes in water and other things that LA is responding to, but wants to take the leadership in.
I'm pretty sure sooner or later Elon Musk will build a death laser of some sort, but at least we know it's going to be renewable powered.
That's right. And right now he's trying to do this circulator that allows you to use energy much like in a pendulum and push it around and you use less fuel. Mm. So let's see, he's got one going in Nevada now, testing, and the hole is being dug in LA. We'll see what happens.
More good news, depending on who you ask. Immigration arrests have fallen to their lowest levels in a decade, according to ICE, as the US Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency focuses on serious criminals, bad hombres, and recent border crosses, rather than a kind of blanket approach. Any thoughts, Ed?
Well, that's going to be tested very soon. There's another caravan coming. I don't think that's going to go up and down until the economies in Central America are places where people can live. That border is going to be difficult. The United States used to be helped by that border leakage because it brought a lot of workers to do the work that needed to be done and Americans weren't doing. Now, those workers are competing with other workers who already have those jobs. So there's conflicts below the surface that will make the streets dangerous in the United States.
Iran has agreed to return to the negotiating table regarding its pursuit of nuclear power, looking to enter negotiations in Vienna at the end of November. This could lead to a potential revival of the 2015 deal instituted under Barack Obama, torn up in short order by Donald Trump, which Joe Biden has been looking to reinstate. What's going on, Ed?
Well, we said that was going to happen, didn't we?
Yeah.
About 2 months ago, when all this posturing was going on, we see this posturing is beginning of getting together. Iran's economy is in shambles. People didn't even show up for the last election. Their employment is an all-time unemployment rate, all-time high. Their COVID rate is huge. They need help. And getting rid of a bomb that they've never exploded, if that's what you have to do, they're going to do it.
And a summary judicial inquiry, an obscure legal process in the New York City Charter, wherein members of the public can look into alleged neglect of duty by public officials. This has begun this week looking to the death of Eric Garner in 2014, whose final words, of course, "I can't breathe," became a rallying cry for the nascent Black Lives Matter movement. This is a process pushed for years by Garner's mother and police reform activists. What do you make of it, Ed?
More of the same. And I think these movements are kind of imploding in a sense that the police departments and others are starting to step away. At some point, there'll be both national legislation and in many states, there's legislation that takes away the cops' immunity to prosecution. Cops who don't get vaccinated are being fired or leaving the force. Many of those are the cops that you would like to have leave the force. So I think there's a reform movement afoot.
And finally, the January 6th investigation. What's happening? It looks like some key witnesses are coming forward in defiance of Donald Trump, and the Biden White House has rejected another attempt by Trump to claim executive privilege over records sought by investigators. What's the latest, Ed?
Well, the latest on this one is things were a little different than I thought. I didn't know there was a command post in the Willard Hotel. This is looking worse and worse. It looks like a real coup attempt. And I think that's what's coming out in the Senate, even, where there are Republicans sitting on the committee and in the House committee. So I think this is looking worse and worse. And from this, another interesting phenomenon that goes back to the last thing we were talking about, the number of people who are suing Donald Trump. In the case you just mentioned of the choking, you may have heard that in Virginia, after that Charlottesville thing, the guys who were the white supremacists and so forth were bragging about on Facebook, they've now been hit with suits by the people who were traumatized by the event. And the woman's family that was killed and that they instigated this. And under U.S. civil law, you can sue for damages for harm done by people out of negligence or purposeful. And some of these guys have had their suits, literally their pants sued off already. They can't even come into court. All their wealth has been stripped from them. This goes back to something in the Civil War. Blacks were allowed to sue if their rights were violated in civil court. And more recently, this happened to the Ku Klux Klan in Arkansas or Tennessee. And now a Black woman there owns all the Klan's buildings. So I think we're going to see the use of these civil actions taking over in this Trump case, where the police are going to sue, bystanders are going to sue, television people are going to sue, members of the House are going to sue, and the committees themselves are going to sue, and the Justice Department's going to sue. Wow.
Well, it gives us plenty of material, I guess, going forward.
It does. It does.
Well, thank you.
So let's hope we don't have to sue to get a bill passed by Congress by next week.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in U.S. news and politics. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. And Ed's other podcast, Pacific Conversations. The latest chat this week is with Dr. Cynthia Goitia regarding informal settlements. 1 billion people globally living in places without proper infrastructure due to wealth inequality. That's Pacific Conversations, wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on the website edtalks.com.au.